Hey, welcome back, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Healing Series. I am so excited to have a very special individual on today's episode. I'm just going to let her introduce herself because I'm just too geeked right now. Go right ahead.
Well, I am Lakeisha Russell. Thank you, Keith, for having me on the podcast. I'm excited. You. I love doing podcasts.
Yes.
And so I am a licensed professional counselor in the state of Wisconsin. I do have a private practice, the Evolving Chair Counseling and Consulting Agency, where I focus on working with children and women who've experienced trauma, depression, anxiety, but really focusing on all women and children issues, whatever that may be. I'm also a speaker. I've been seen in Forbes, Milwaukee Magazine, CBS,
yes.
NBC, and all those great media outlets and others. So I'm just grateful to be here.
Absolutely. Okay, y'all, she's being so humble right now, but she is America's number one mental wellness ambassador, okay? She's being too humble right now.
Oh, thank you.
So this is major, y'all. You getting ready to get some gems, some tips, and all of that. So I'm so excited. Thank you again so much. Okay. So with you being a founder of your own consulting business, So the first question that I would have for you is, who does mental illness affect?
It affects us all. And I think the misconception that I see a lot is that people feel that children aren't impacted by things that happen, which can alter their mental health. But it impacts everybody, regardless of your race, your ethnicity, what you believe. Mm-hmm. It impacts every single person here.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is so true. And even so, I work with younger girls and they're mostly black girls and the trauma that they go through. And, you know, they go through so many things at home and then they bring it to school and there's no question of, okay, what's going on? And they'd be so quick to just suspend them, expel them. And it's like, these babies really need help.
Yeah.
So definitely, I'm really thrilled that you are doing that. Seriously. Okay. So what are some, what causes mental illness?
Like you spoke to it earlier, just with the young ladies you work with, the traumas, right? When we don't heal and really process those experiences that have some kind of traumatic impact on us, that can alter our brain development, you know, our emotional intelligence, just day-to-day things, stress, right? What we put in our body, so what we're eating. Like, literally, I tell people anything can alter your mental health. Breakups, divorce, like, those things can alter your mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does affect everybody. Because when you think about divorce, it's not just the adults.
Exactly.
It's the children as well.
It does. And it's so funny. I was just, I have a new, like, office mate. He's in IT. And so, you know, he was just talking to me like, you know, I experienced like a bad divorce and my daughter who's 25, you know, like every now and again, she'll like post stuff on Facebook with like resentment towards me. Like, how do I help her process that? And I was like, you know, told her I'm sorry and all of that. And I was like, you know, just be there for her, walk in that love. I was like, and understanding, you know, when she experienced the divorce at 14, that was a lot for her, you know, and the behaviors that she was doing, she probably felt like y'all didn't see her and y'all let her slip through the cracks with the choices that she made. So it, but that goes back to what you were stating, that it just doesn't impact the parents but also the kids.
Absolutely. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who is actually a social worker, and she was saying that listening is an effective way of communication. So we can always assume things, but if we're not listening to the children and finding out what's going on, it's like, how can we really help them?
Exactly. And like listening, not to like give them a response, because oftentimes, you know, kids are just like us as adults, right? We just want to tell somebody something and don't necessarily want them to solve it, but I want you to hear me and really hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not listening so you can give a response, but just really hear what that other person is talking about.
Exactly. I know for me, when I hear these babies, I mean, want to just jump in and be superwoman, but it's like they really do need someone to listen.
They do.
So that's something that I'm working on for sure. But it's really interesting that children now, they're so aware. They're so aware. They have that self-awareness, like, okay, I am feeling this way. I need someone to talk to, or I need someone to listen to.
Yes. And I think too, as parents, because I'm a mom, I have two kids,
yes.
and it's not dismissing their feelings mm-hmm. because what they feel is very real, mm-hmm. you know, but they don't have to act on those feelings.
Exactly.
And so I think encouraging kids not to necessarily act on it, but you know what, you have a right to how you feel, let's process it, mm-hmm. but don't dismiss it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I have to keep my feelings all bottled up.
Yeah.
And now 10 years after this, you know, I don't know how to handle my emotions
right.
and process those mm-hmm. things.
Definitely. And if it's not, and I also say too, if it's not being handled at a young age, if they grow up and mm-hmm. it affects their relationships, you know, soon to come, or whether it's just with their friendships, you know,
exactly.
being mindful of the type of friendships that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they get into serious relationships,
exactly.
it can be either toxic for them. It can just be unhealthy if they're not dealing with it at a young age.
Yep. And there's so much research out there, Key, that talks about if your child isn't able to be able to process and cope with their emotions and have that just self-regulation and awareness by third grade, that it's harder for them to be able to cope and really have healthy relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So just thinking about the children
mm-hmm.
And them having mental illnesses, what are some signs of mental illness that we should be paying attention to?
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to children, so oftentimes with depression, it doesn't come out how we might see it in terms of as an adult necessarily, where you see like the over sadness and just no longer the interest. Now, sometimes it may come in that way with children too, where they aren't interested in the things that they once sought joy in and things like that. They might be sleeping not as much, or they might be sleeping more. Or they might not really have an appetite, and they're used to, like, you know, having a pretty
right.
good appetite. Or they might be eating more. But oftentimes with kids, you see depression more so as anger. So that is like the most common way for them. So whether they're physically aggressive, verbally aggressive, you see depression more in those lines of anger when it comes to kids.
Now, what about adults?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the signs of mental illness with adults?
Yeah, and I think, because I feel like it has transformed even to this day, just of how it comes out. So like, we can look at the common things where it's like, oh, you know, this adult or my friend used to be really engaged, and now, you know, all she wants to do is just go home and lay down, or, you know, she's not really eating. Or we, you know, don't really know what she's doing. Like, she would be able to like contact us and just want to have conversations.
Yeah.
Again, going back to just like overly tired, as well as, I'm trying to think of the word. I'm sorry. look,
good,
I have a brain freeze.
You good.
But yeah, so just going back to those kind of simpler things, but also to, keeping in mind that the signs of certain mental health illnesses might not display itself. So like, you know, primarily like depression, you know, we might think of somebody that's an Eeyore per se, but that might not be the way that they're expressing their depression. You might have somebody that is functionally depressive.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that they're able to still go to work, get their things done, you know, might be able to socialize and just interact with people, and you wouldn't know that they're going through depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it comes really down with people checking in with people to really see how they're feeling. Because, you know, you can think, oh, you know, they're not depressed, they don't have anything going on, ain't nothing wrong with them, because they're doing all the things that you have always seen them do, but yet deep down inside that they're hurting. But it really comes with people really being like, hey, I just want to check in with you, how are you feeling, how are you doing? And hope, and you want to hope, right, that you have a good enough relationship where that person is able to really share what's really going on. But I think those are just some signs just to be aware of that can be like very obvious, but to keep in mind that mental illnesses doesn't always transpose even how us as therapists describe how they can be. So like I always tell people, your best bet is to really ask that person and check in with people on how they're doing and feeling.
Absolutely. Checking in is definitely important. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I feel like that is something that we forget sometimes because we get so caught up in our own lives and we have things going on ourselves.
Exactly.
We forget to check on the people that, you know, really need it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I was having a conversation with someone and it really hurt me because thinking about a lot of these babies trying to attempt suicide. I feel like the type of work that you do, it can be very I don't consider myself to be a social worker or a therapist or anything. That's not my, like, that's not my title, but I do feel that I am. I definitely feel that I am. But I was having a conversation with a former colleague of mine, and I was just asking her, you know, checking in, and she was just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm fine. I just feel as if someone was to tell me or a child was to tell me that they were going to commit suicide, I wouldn't take that home with me. And that hurt me so bad because it's like, are you paying attention? Are you aware that this is really going on with these babies? They are, they're young, fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh graders, wanting to commit suicide. That is so traumatizing for me. And I know for me, it's hard to, my self-care process is a challenge. I'm gonna be real and say that. Have you ever got to a point where you just had a burnout, where you was just too stressed and said, okay, maybe this isn't what I need to be doing?
Oh yeah, I feel like me and my friend talk about this all the time. I feel like you at least feel this maybe like once a month, if not a few times a month, because it can be so much and you have a heart to want to help everybody. And then, you know, some of the stuff people lay on you, you be like, whew, this is heavy. Like, I want to woo-saw for you, like deep breathe for you and all of that. So I feel like, yes, I've had those moments where I was
I'm not alone.
Maybe this field ain't for me. And even for me, when I first started out though, as a case manager, you know, my very first case, like I tell people this all the time, was a six-year-old girl. And you know, just her history of trauma was just really to the max. And like I'm reading, you know, the information and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like how am I going to like like literally, like I had a meltdown and I was just like, okay, you know what, she is not her trauma. You know, the services we're bringing into play is to really help with those behaviors for her to get to the other side of that healing, you know, for the family to get to the other side of that healing. And for us, I think in this profession or anybody who has these titles but don't have like the actual professional labels and things like that, because I think of Nipsey Hussle, I'm like, he was a social worker in his own right.
Absolutely.
You know, but to still have a heart for the people and to keep in mind that, you know, it can be tough for you too, because for what you do with the young ladies you work with, that's still in the helping profession. You know,
it's so a service.
Anything, right? Any kind of service you are offering, you are, I'm sure, motivated to help them get to something better.
Yeah.
You know, than what they're in right now or what they've experienced.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I'd be feeling so alone sometimes.
No, no.
Because it's a lot.
It is.
It's really a lot.
It is.
But I say it takes a very strong person to do the type of work that we do.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Because it'd be times I'd be like, ooh, this ain't for me. But then it's funny because God, like, it'd be like a ram in a bush. And I just be like, okay, Lord, this is why I go so hard. This is why I do what
I do. Okay, so with having those burnouts or feeling like it's just too much for you, how do you take care of yourself?
So I actually have my own therapist. So I believe therapists need a therapist, you know, and actually me really going into therapy helped like me resolve some of my unmet traumas that I've had as a kid. And actually it was the catalyst that I felt like helped me get to the next level, even within like my purpose and my business. So definitely seeing a therapist, prayer, spending time with friends, laughing and enjoying life. And not taking everything so seriously either. Yes. And then to, I think to go back to, you said it was your friend who said, like, if a kid said, you know, like,
she
she wouldn't take that home. Literally, I remember in grad school, one of my professors was like, you know, you need to like have a filter by your heart, because if you let every single thing in, you are going to burn out. Mm-hmm. You won't be in this field. You won't have nothing to give back to your family. Mm-hmm. So she was like, it's okay to let some stuff trickle in through that filter, but you can't let it all trickle in. Mm-hmm. And like, literally, that has helped me. That has stayed with me.
Okay.
To where I, you know, unfortunately, we can't take everything home with us, or we won't have anything to give to our own family.
Right, exactly. And you know, also for me too, I think what really made me get taken aback by it was because, you know, you're a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of friends that I do have, they are mothers.
Yeah.
So just knowing that they have to be willing to take care of themselves in order to give back to their families. I don't have children. You know, so it's, everything is for me. I can get very emotional about it, and I want to be there. Those babies are my children.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, but I want to be there for them. And, you know, it's like, okay, I got this S on my chest. I'm here for you. I understand. But I work with so many girls, and I'm trying to figure out how can I really take care of myself in a sense. So it's good that you mentioned it. Therapists need therapists because to those girls, I'm their hero. And it's like, okay, I need help too.
Yeah.
You know, in order for me to be good to you, to help you in your situations, I gotta make sure I'm taking care of myself.
Yes.
So I'm slowly working through it. Slowly but surely, but it's just, you know, that awareness is what I have. So,
yeah.
Thank you for that.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay, I have a bonus question.
Okay, yay.
So, there's been like a lot of talk about, you are a Christian, and that's something you speak very highly of. I am a Christian myself, but I also do meditation. So I hear a lot of talks about meditation is witchcraft, is voodoo. It's like, what? I'm not a witch. Okay. So what is your take on meditation? With you being a Christian, what is your take on meditation?
Well, you know, I think, you know, oftentimes we forget, like, the word says to meditate on God's word.
Ooh,
so it's like, so what are you doing? You are sitting in that presence that you have created between you and God, and just, you know, reminiscing on what you read, what you hold in your heart to be what is true. And so for me, meditation is just that. You are holding space for your thoughts and your feelings, for your body to become one, to be aligned, for you to really feel things inside. So that
I knew this was meant to be. I knew it, because I'm like, wait a minute, what? We really arguing about this? Okay.
So you believe? Okay.
Right. Like, how do you view me then? Oh, okay. Thank you for that, because I feel so good now.
Like, yes, I do it. I have my kids do it. Like, literally, I did a meditation with my son this week just to get him recentered and refocused before he did his homework.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
So.
And then also, too, just thinking about everyone's relationship with God is different.
It is.
It's different. So we have to find our way to God. And meditation is definitely my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't. Now, I do burn my sage and I burn my incense and those things, but that does not mean I don't have a relationship with God, because I meditate. And I see that that's be really like the major topic lately. So I had to ask you that. I'm like, let me see what she gonna say about this.
I meditate, you know. I do it in session with people, so I'm like, there's no other way for you to become more one with your body than meditation. And even, you know,
absolutely,
building your relationship up with the Lord.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Okay, this is so good. This is so good. Just for time's sake, I want you to tell the listeners where they can find you on your social media.
Yeah, so you guys can connect with me on my Instagram, Lakeisha LPC, on Facebook, Lakeisha Russell LPC, on Twitter, Lakeisha LPC. And if you just want to go look at like my business page, it's The Evolving Chair.
Yes,
across
yes,
every platform.
Absolutely.
So.
And you truly be dropping some gems. You truly do. I'm like really grateful. Like I'm so excited right now.
I gotta this come is, back. I love doing
podcasts. Absolutely. Podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you all for tuning in. You all stay dope. Thank you for tuning in into another episode of Healing Series. I hope you caught those gems and that you just continue to stay dope. Peace.